So, my little munchkins, you're getting ready to receive your first communion. And our first communion focuses heavily upon two things, bread and wine, because the bread and wine we know becomes Jesus Christ. Now, our relationship with God has had an interesting relationship through bread. And when we look at this, it helps us to understand why we're here today. So if we go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we see bread talked about for the very, very first time. We're told that Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet. He'll become Abraham in a couple more chapters. We're told that he had to go to battle because his nephew Lot had been taken captive. So he goes and he gets his nephew and he brings him back. So because the mission was safe and everything was great again, they wanted to thank God. Well, all of a sudden, this man named Melchizedek shows up on the scene, and he's going to make an offering to God. We're told that he's going to offer bread and wine to God. Now, as Catholic Christians, we might think, well, we do this all the time, every Sunday when we come to Mass. But this was the very first time we see this offering. Before that, we had animal sacrifice. Now, you might think, animal sacrifice, that's barbaric. But if you like cheeseburgers or bacon or chicken McNuggets, you take part in animal sacrifice, all right? So this bread and wine offering seems to come out of nowhere, and it disappears for a few thousand years. So the next time we see bread is we have to go to Egypt. You ever been to Egypt? Me neither. Yeah? All right, good time. You have to go to Egypt. And what happens is the Israelites have been enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. So God sends who? Who does God send to Egypt to bring his people out of slavery? Do we know? Begins with an M. Moses, right? So Moses goes down into Egypt and he brings everybody out. He wants to bring everybody out. But to do that, we have to have a sacrifice. And we have the Passover sacrifice. So God tells the people to take a lamb and sacrifice it, and its blood will be the Passover meal. But on the table, we'd have bread there. We'd have unleavened bread. Because the Israelites have to leave quickly, get out of town before Pharaoh changes his mind, they don't leaven their bread. So as part of the Passover meal, the Passover sacrifice, we have bread right there. And it says in the scriptures that when your children, so little ones your age, say to their parents, why do we do this, mom and dad? God says to them, you'll tell your children this. It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. When he struck down the Egyptians, he delivered our houses. So it's a reminder, a perpetual reminder of God's saving graces that he gives us. Now, the next time we see bread in the scriptures, the Israelites are walking in the desert because they leave Egypt and they want to go to the promised land. So they got to come to Benicia, right? So it's going to take 40 years to walk from the Holy Lands to Benicia. A little swimming too, but that's another story. So what happens is, while they're walking in the desert, have you ever been to the desert? Anybody ever been to the desert here? I lived in Arizona for 5 years. There's not a lot in the desert, right? There's no Burger King. There's no Wendy's. Like, what are you supposed to do? Eat snakes? Ew, gross. So the people are walking in the desert, and they cry out to God and say, God, we're hungry. Well, they cry out to Moses. They said, Moses, did you bring us out here to die? At least in Egypt, although we were slaves, we had food to eat. So Moses prays to God and says, God, I need some takeout. So God sends manna. He sends manna down from heaven, this miraculous bread. It's miraculous for a few reasons. One, it shows up out of nowhere. It just comes down from the skies. And God says, every morning I want you to go out and I want you to collect this bread. And we're told if you took a lot or if you took a little, everyone had enough to eat. Now, God said to the people, I will give this to you every day. Every day I'm going to send this bread from heaven. So you have to trust me. But some people didn't trust me. And we're told that they took some of the bread and they kept it overnight, thinking if God's not going to come through, at least I'll be able to eat tomorrow. But we're told that when they opened up the container that they put the bread in, that it became, quote, direct quote, it became wormy and stank. Yeah, ew, right? We all say, ew, that's gross, right? God said, no, have faith in me. Have faith that I will give it to you. But on the day before the Sabbath, because in the Sabbath we're not supposed to work, God said, get a double portion. Take a double portion. And when you open up the next day, the double portion, it wasn't wormy and stank. So God said, if you believe in me, if you have faith in me, I will continue to feed you day in and day out. The next time we see bread is when they're walking in the desert. They have this tent. You ever go camping? You guys ever go camping? Yeah? Do you have a tent? Right? You went camping too? You go tent? Okay. So when you're camping, you don't have a nice big house like this, a nice big church, right? Well, they were camping for 40 years. So they would set up the camp. They would spend the day or night or a couple days there. Then eventually they'd break down the camp and then go to the next spot. And they'd set up camp, stay a couple days, break down and keep moving. And every time they set up the tent where Moses would go and meet with God, right outside they had two tables. They had the table where they put incense, and they had the table where they put show bread. Now in Hebrew, that word means bread of presence. It was a reminder that God is with us. God is right here among us. Now another important reference is with Samuel. So we see that, in 1 Samuel, King David's on the run, and he's being chased by people. You ever been on the run being chased? No, don't answer that question. Okay, you're too young for that. All right. So what happens is they come to a town, and they're hungry. And they go to the priest, and they say, we're hungry. Do you have any food for us to eat? And the high priest says, I only have the holy bread, the bread that was consecrated. But he said, if you're in a state of grace, I will allow you to eat it. So we see when we come before God, we have to be worthy to do this. So we can see from the Old Testament all these different references that God is preparing us for today. So let's now go to the New Testament, okay? So in the New Testament, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he teaches them this wonderful teaching in what we call the Bread of Life Discourse. And Jesus says to him, he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You might think, ooh, that's an interesting claim, because the manna came down from heaven. So Jesus is saying, I was in heaven with God, and I've come down to the earth. Well, if you're with heaven with God, what does that make you? That means you're also God. So Jesus is making this divine claim. Then he says, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. And the people go, ew, we can't. How can you give us your flesh to eat? How can you give us your blood to drink? And they're a little confused. Who wouldn't be, right? I would be confused too. But what happens is when we go to the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, Jesus starts to give us more revelation. So they're celebrating the Passover meal. Remember we talked about in Egypt? And there was bread on the table? Well, Jesus takes that bread and he says, this is my body. Take and eat. Then he takes the chalice and says, this is the chalice of my blood, which will be shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. So Jesus gives us the ability to receive his body and to receive his blood. So today, 2,000 years later, you're going to do that. Because the same way the Israelites told their children, this is a perpetual ordinance that we're going to receive to remind us of God freeing us from slavery in Egypt. Every time we come to Mass, every time we come to church, every time we receive the Eucharist, we're reminded that God saved us from eternal slavery by forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life. Because when Jesus comes into us, we want to become what we eat. We want to become that body of Christ as well. And it's in striving to be that body of Christ that we learn to do what the gospel says, to love one another. Jesus loved us so much, he laid down his life for us. So we too are called to lay down our lives for our parents, for our brothers and sisters, for our family and friends. We're called to serve. So in a few moments, you're going to come up and you're going to receive this beautiful gift. You're going to receive the body, blood, and soul divinity of Jesus Christ. And you're called to walk more faithfully in his footsteps so that you can bring Christ to the world and especially his love. How's that sound? Good? All right.